This is CliffCentral.com.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on transformation.
G-Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly. Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't. Boom. Time isn't.
With G-Man, the ad man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
With G-Man, the ad man.
Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Hello, 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 hello. What? It's your boy, G-Man the Ad Man, and we're back at it. Guys, I think you can also hear that Palisa's back, right? So huge shout out to Palisa, our technical arm of the stew. Last week was a bit shaky because Palisa wasn't here. Huge shout out. What's up, Palisa? You good?
Good.
Good to see you. Good to see you. Yeah, it's your boy, G-Man the Ad Man. We're back at it. My cans are loud as fuck. Good to see you guys. It's been another amazing week of advertising. Once again, I use the word amazing very, very loosely. It's been a week of advertising, but yeah, it's good to see you guys, man. My man Cheers is in the house. Once again, he's been working hard, and if you've been following me on social media, you know that he's been working really, really hard. But hit me up on Twitter or on Facebook. On Twitter, it's Mr. Blaxem. It's at BLAXEM on Twitter, or at Cliff Central, or at CliffCentral.com on Twitter. We have a dope show for you guys today. I've also changed the background music, right? You guys can hear that, right? This is Money, Power, Respect. It reminds me of that time when Oskido used to run Rap Activity Jam, right? And I remember that there was this crew from the Val. But Money, Power, Respect is the key to life. Money, Power, Respect. Money, Power, Respect. But we're hanging out. It's going to be a dope show today. If you follow me on social media, you know that I've got a dope guest with me today. So I'm gonna get like a lot of the new stuff out the way. Let me just turn Mighty Parkers back down. Yeah, I'm gonna get the new stuff out of the way so we can actually chat to this amazing guest that I've got with me today. I'm also trying not to steal the thunder. Yeah, but I'll start by saying today, your boy, if you saw the video I just posted on Instagram, you must know that the top is styled by Mr. Mabutu Tseke. He left this top in my car, and I'm wearing it today, and it's dope. So thanks, Mabutu Tseke, for styling the show today. That's what's up. That's what's up. In fact, no, let's hook Mabutu up with the triple A horn. That's what's up. Yeah, thanks, what's up. But yeah, there's a lot of things that have happened in the week. And like I always do every week, right? I introduce the guest so we can talk about the news, right? And I actually want to introduce my guest actually real early so we can get past the news and actually get into you know, the hangout. Now, if you have been in advertising for about 5-10 minutes, I mean, I remember when I first the Lurys were in Sun City at the time, right? And I got there, and it's when the Lurys were still a Banquet. Right, so for those of you guys who are new to the game, you don't even know that the Lurys were a dinner. At some point, the Lurys were, you know, guys.
Unless you're a junior, and then you have to eat at 5. So if you're a junior, you ate at 5, you sat up on the balcony, you watched everyone eat.
That's what's up.
See, for like 3 hours.
See, that's what's going on with my guest, right? She just jumped right
Sorry,
in.
Sorry, did I just like leap right in there? I'm so bad.
Hey, friend, nobody can tell you what to do, friend.
Okay, all right.
You're in charge.
Sorry. But I ruined your flow, though.
It's okay. So we're here
okay,
right now.
Right.
It's
fine. We good. Okay. We cool.
So I mean, if anything was ever indicative of the guest I've got in the studio with me today, I'm talking about a runner of things. Like a woman I've been like kind of going, man, if I ever got to work with that lady. And you know, we'll get into that. Mm-hmm. We'll get into the conversations that me and Fran have had before. But I remember when the Lurys were at dinner, right? So young people, don't doubt how much we have helped this industry to transform into something cool. Right, the Lulus were at dinner. They were at dinner. We were at Sun City. There were people who sat in the gallery. There were people who were eating steaks while awards were being handed out. Can you imagine that shit? So I remember that was the first time I saw Fran, and she was winning a lot of shit, a lot of shit. Right, and I was like, man, who is that lady? So in the studio with me today, guys. She's already introduced herself by taking over. but in the studio with me today, guys, is Miss Fran Luckin.
You know what? I get that a lot. Mr. Luckin, I get a lot. And like all my airplane tickets.
You've also been called Lucky before. You've been called Lucky.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, yeah. Look, the best one I've ever had was I got an invitation to a book launch addressed to Fran Fucklin. I'm never throwing it away. I've kept it. It's genius.
That's beautiful. But welcome to the show. Once again, huge shout out to Mr. Chieza Quinchetti. What's going on? Jeez, you make shit happen, man. You make shit happen, Jeez.
I try to.
You got Fran in here. She doesn't take my calls anymore, but she took your calls.
Shit so early in the show.
Yeah, so good to have you in the studio, Fran. What did we pull you away from? What are you working on? What's on your plate right now?
Well, we're working on a campaign for Uber South Africa, which is really exciting. Yeah, so we're actually shooting this evening. We've got a night shoot this evening, so we're just preparing for that. Yeah. Keep writing, and we've shot two commercials already. We're about to go into edit stuff like that, and there's a whole bunch of radio plans, so that's really exciting. It's a cool brand.
That's insane shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like you know before I got into advertising, right, like my folks would say, how many brands actually advertise, right? Because you don't actually think about it, right? Mm-mm. And like nobody actually thinks that Uber has an agency. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So how do people land like an account like Uber? Did you go to them? Did they come to you? Did you guys pitch? How do you end up with an account like Uber?
So it's really interesting. Justin Spratt, who is head of New Business Africa, Sub-Saharan Africa for Uber, was my MD, my boss at Quirk when I was at Quirk.
Uh-huh.
And he said, well, look, they're looking to do a launch campaign. So
shout out Justin, what's up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The lovely Mr. Spratt. So he said, well, they're looking for an agency. At that stage, they were thinking they might run the work that they'd done in the UK, which we advised them not to do. I think it was a good call because I transplanting a campaign from London. Yeah. So we pitched some ideas and they went forward with us.
That is so dope.
Yeah.
That is so dope.
Yeah. Great.
So yeah, guys, I got Miss Fran Luckin in this too, guys. Like I said, I mean, cheese works hard, guys. For people to get Fran like out of meetings and stuff into a stew for an hour is a big deal. So I'm really happy to have you.
It's great to be here. I mean, I think when we saw each other in social on Main, I think when we like hugged extensively.
Shout out to the guys social on Main.
We hugged extensively under those under those sprinklers, right? Yeah, and I think we said then, I said, hey, I'd love
Lord, to... You're telling everyone everything up front.
Sorry, I'll hold back.
Can I get through some news first?
Is that okay? But I mean, I remember saying to you then, I would love to be on your show. So to be fair, I asked you.
And here we are. Cool. Thanks so much
you
for being here.
You made my job easier. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
That's what's up, that's what's up. So some dope things have happened, right? Am I allowed to call Ogilvy your alma mater?
Sure.
Emma.
Mm-hmm.
So some amazing news just went down at Ogilvy. They just announced some amazing big stuff.
Yep.
Mr. Alistair Mukwena. Mm-hmm. Huge shout out. Mr. L. Mukwena, what's going on, son? He has just been announced as the CEO of Ogilvy Joburg. How big is that?
I think he's group CEO, isn't he?
He's actually group CEO. That's mm-hmm. what's up. How big is that? How big is that, friend?
It's fantastic.
I mean, like, to kind of step into those shoes after, you know, Mr. AB.
Yeah.
Right? How big do you think this task is for Alistair?
Look, I think he's well. I mean, I don't think it wasn't a big surprise to anybody. I don't think when they heard it. I think he's really capable of doing the job. He's been
the MD there for a little bit.
Yeah,
now, right?
Yeah, and he's a good guy, smart, ethical, you know, reliable.
Oh, sorry about that. That's Wu-Tang. Excuse.
I was going to take a different tack there. With the music, like describing the qualities.
You were just gotten in there.
He's going to go with the qualities of this man. You know, what a man, what a man. Anyway, so. It is a big job. I mean, Ogilvy is a huge agency.
It's a machine,
and it is probably the most dominant agency in the country at the moment with regard to size, revenue, profitability, and also awards. So you've got to keep... Like, it's always easy if you come in somewhere where, you know, the agency's at number 100.
Yeah.
And then next year...
So like, I change things around.
Next year, you're at number 90. Everyone's like, woo! If you go in with an agency that's number one, whoo, pressure. Yeah. But he's more than capable of doing
that's so dope. In fact, I'm actually going to get into a question that I was going to ask you later, right?
Okay.
So, like, and... and it, feels like it kind of lives in the same business. Like, mm-hmm. so someone like an AB, mm-hmm. like has a reputation and he built, you know, some of the best work that Ogilvy has done in the past couple of years was under him.
Yeah,
you came in after Mr. Jerry Heumann.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And like, is there like how heavy is the proverbial yoke? That you carry after somebody who's done such amazing work.
It's huge. It was really is. I am honestly to be totally honest with you. At shortly after taking over as ECD, I woke up one night thinking I was having a heart attack. I was so I was so anxious, and I went to the doctor. She said your heart is fine. Let's talk about your anxiety.
You actually went to the doctor?
Yeah, I was like, I thought I have heart problems. Yeah. I was so anxious.
Yeah,
is that too vulnerable for the stage of the show?
But it's true, and I want people to know. Because I want people to know that it's not easy and it's okay. It's okay to be afraid. And
that's what's up.
I had a long chat with Jerry, and Jerry said, "Listen, don't try and be me." And it was great advice. He said, "Don't try and be me. Just do
your thing." Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
Shout out, Mr. Jerry Heumann. What's up?
Amazing guy.
Yeah.
And that really helped. And the other thing was, you know, he said to me, "You've got a great team of people, so you just be there for them." A lot of what your job is at that point is actually shepherding them, looking after them, letting them do what they do best.
Yeah.
So he just put me right on that. He said, "Don't try to be me. Just do what you do and look after these great people that you got, because they're gonna carry on being amazing. You just make sure that they've got all the things they need."
But and I'm sure, like, you know, for somebody to take over from like somebody who's a team of people who go, "Man, this is the guy." Yeah. And I'm sure that Alistair kind of feels like he might feel like he's in that place as well. If you were to give him one word of advice, right, to kind of go, you're walking into, like, you know, a position that people go in. We all thought you were going to get there, but you know, you're there now, and somebody before you, we all love that man.
Yeah.
What words of advice do you have for them?
I would say, think about what people need from you and offer that.
Yeah.
It's like your job actually as a leader is to be, I mean, and this is kind of, it's going to sound like jargon, but it's to be a servant. It's to look after the people.
Boom!
So find out what they need from you and give that to them, you know.
That's what's up.
Spend time with them. And I think he is a man of the people. I think he knows his staff. He's very close to them. So you've been put in that position to give them something unique that you can give. And you're going to do that differently from the person before, but you still have that gift, and you're going to meet their need in a way that's unique to you. So find out what they need and just give it to them.
Guys, I told you, G-Man the Edman, we only bring the best guests here, guys, the best advice. You know what I mean?
Sage advice.
I also want you to know, like Fran touched on some like important things. It's also Mental Health Week this week, right?
Yeah.
And all that is about like self-confidence and like people fall into like depressions and like weird places because like of self-confidence.
Yep.
So I'm really glad that we're touching on like the whole like just do you.
Yeah.
Do you. At the most, just do you. Whether you're just a young copywriter who just came in, don't try to be another Fran Larkin. Don't try to be another Cesar Quinchetto or another Grant Stoller. It's also tough to be another Grant Stoller.
Sure. But don't. I mean,
but yeah, man, I think there's some sage advice. So Mr. Alistair Mugwena, boom, boom. Well done, bruv. So I'm gonna leave that other thing for the last conversation, right?
Yes.
So yesterday I happened to be at Marble. Right?
Yes,
it was actually the first time I actually went to Marble.
Isn't it great?
It is so dope.
That view. Woo.
Right. Mm-hmm. But most importantly, it is the interior, the work of
Nathan,
Grid.
Yeah. Yep.
Mr. Nathan Reddy. So you shout out to Mr. Nathan Reddy and the crew at Grid, right? So like a lot of us think that, you know, what we do is art direction, and copywriting.
Writing, layouts.
And radio sports, things with squeeze bags. Right?
Squeeze bags.
But with the cement bag. but you have been there yesterday and to have seen the work was done by the guys at Grid. Like I was like, damn it, this is actually the stuff that represents, you know, what we do, right? Tell me how important you think it is, Fran, for us to kind of understand that the horizon is not just
layouts,
things with squeeze bags. And like interior design and in fact just conceptual design.
Yeah.
Right, is a part of what we do. And it's actually how important do you think it is for people to think that to understand that is what we do.
I think there's more and more of our world is actually designed. If you think there's more and more of the world we live in is actually created.
We actually don't realize how important how much design goes into everything, even your cutlery, your utensils that
even the, you know, the way you walk through an airport has been designed. Yeah. That customer journey has been designed. Your mobile phone, your any app
everything
that you use,
it's all designed.
It's water bottle.
Totally.
So are we saying then that the people who are in teams of traditional copywriter and art director should be thinking further than that, or should we start introducing designers into like what do we think is the
as a creative design? I think there's people who specialize in design, but you might have the idea, so the idea is still king and that think beyond traditional advertising. So if you're conceptual about something, it doesn't mean that it can't be done.
Yeah, what we do is we... At Grey, we completely... So we don't have any separate bottom line.
Shameless plug.
Right. Shameless plug.
We're getting into murky waters.
I hope my CEO's just ticked off his list. So performance bonus later. I know that King James also works like this as well. I think a lot of agencies are going there now where you've got a conceptual...
Shout out to the homies of King James.
Oh, yes.
What's up? What's going on?
I'll expect my check from you, Alistair, as well.
Two plugs.
Yes. Oh, I'm going to roll. Well. I'm going to roll.
The first 15.
I'll be able to retire by the end of this. So I'll be an influencer. That is like,
I'm trying to become an influencer. Mm-hmm. You know, just like say, get invites. Jeez, I'm not getting enough invites.
Just follow my lead. Do what I do and you'll be fine.
After this, we should be fine.
What's your clout score? It's quite high, right? You need to get up to like...
No, about clout.
Wait.
Take over. Come on,
focus. So where were we? Okay, integration. So, I mean, it's that idea where you have a conceptual team and that comes up with a kind of platform idea and then you bring in specialists from there. But it's also quite nice to kind of have more design thinkers. I mean, I think with the way advertising is going is the lines are blurring quite a lot. So you've got people who come out of a design background and they go into art direction, but they still think like graphic designers. So they're still thinking, well, let's design this environment. As I think getting more access to the higher decision makers on the client side is better as well, because then you'll get, instead of just getting the ad brief, you'll get the business problem brief.
Yes.
Boom.
And that's where you can design the whole customer experience. And that comes down to, well, what does it look like when we go in store? How do you progress through the store? What's the app look like? What's the customer service like in the phone? And that's where you kind of want to get to.
What I do want you guys to remember is that this whole thing started with, well, we do it great.
That counts as another punt, doesn't it? That's three now, I think.
It is. But it's insane. But I actually think that, once again, huge shout out to the guys at Grey. I think, you know, like we don't actually always recognize the people we walk amongst, right? Yeah. So like Nathan and the guys at Grid have done some amazing stuff.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for Cheese to organize for Nathan to come to the studio.
Oh yeah,
but he's working on that. It's gonna happen.
All
right, cool. Nathan, Nerdy, if you're listening out here, I'm gonna wait for Cheese. I'm gonna wait for you to give me a call. So huge shout out to the guys at Grid.
I'll give him a call. How about that?
That's what's up. So speaking of Grid and Ilovo, thanks. Someone's phone's ringing.
It's probably my mom. No, it's not. Yeah. It's not my phone.
It's him.
Yeah. So speaking of that, I drove past the whole place there where Grid is, and I saw that Arlen Davenport have rebranded.
Yes.
To something called Collective ID.
Yeah, Collective ID. Yes.
That's so we're hoping to get them in the studio. We don't know what that means. So we're hoping to get them in the studio so we can explain that.
I'll make sure that happens. Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously they're going through some things there. Hopefully that's some amazing things. So huge shout out to the guys at Collective ID now.
It's a nice name, actually.
Yeah. Once you get to understand what it means, I'm sure it's a nice name. So yeah, because a collective is a group.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe once they get you, they'll
it's kind
they'll
of paradoxical,
collective
right?
Identity,
right?
Because
identity is singular.
And
we'll understand when they get you.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Then explain it further.
So friend, you know what I want to do. To get into the Dove thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want you to tell me kind of what your take on that entire thing, because we had a chat outside the studio about it. What's your take on that entire thing? And we're gonna get deep down. So it's your boy G-Man the Ad Man, right? Mm-hmm. On Cliff Central. Hit me up at Blaxam at BLAXEM. I want you guys to tell me what you think of the Dove thing, and what you think the repercussions, or whether there should be repercussions for this kind of thing, and some people also think that maybe we're just blowing the shit out of proportion.
Yeah.
Right.
There's also that narrative of the people feeling like we're getting too personal, too sensitive.
Yeah, where I come from, it's called white privilege. But you can call it what you want. But
came from Kanye Bao as well.
That's what's up. But tell me what your take on the whole Dove thing is.
So I mean, I think people are offended, and so one can't say, oh, it's not offensive, because people are offended.
Yeah,
you can't get away from that. I think it was unwise. I think somebody. I don't think any harm was intended by it, but I think maybe somebody could have looked at it and gone, oh, hang on, maybe that's going to be construed in a certain way. I'm still not sure what the product is. That was the other thing. Like, what does it do?
But that's the thing, right? Because they have a history of having done weird shit like this, right?
It's not the first time.
That feels like they're purporting that, you know, white is right.
Yeah.
Right? To put it bluntly, right? So, like, they have a few things that they've said before. Like, for example, on their packaging, one of the stuff, it says... for white for normal, normal
normal to dark
skin. And it's like,
There's another execution that says white is pure.
Does it actually say that?
Yeah, white is pure. I'll find it for you.
So, but friend, do you think that that is like purely about representation? Like the fact that there's no one in the boardroom who can say, hey, guys, no.
Yeah, I think that could have something to do with it. I mean, we were saying outside, I'm not sure whether it came from the UK or from South Africa.
From the US, apparently.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that has got to do with, you know, needing to have somebody in the boardroom going, hang on a minute, that might be construed in a certain way.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's definitely got to do with that.
But do you think that, like, because when I saw that, I immediately, there it is. It says white is purity.
That's a different one. That's Nivea, different. Though, hey?
Oh, it's Nivea.
Jeez, you just planted Dove in a Nivea ad. Mm-hmm. thanks.
But it came out, okay.
But now we're going to start another bonfire. Yeah, right? Exactly. You know what I mean? Jeez.
But for me, like, you know what was weird? Is that I was very quick to think that it was a South African ad. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that I was able to very quickly go, that actually could have happened in South Africa? Because I think it could have happened here.
Yeah, I think there is an increased sensitivity in this country because there's been, I think we're still getting over, I mean, white privilege is a thing.
You know,
we are, there is a dominance of, you know, white people in boardrooms here still on the client side and on
and white males
side. Yeah, sure.
Specifically, yeah.
And so we're getting over, we're learning to think differently and we're learning to kind of, you know, find a different voice.
Yeah.
I think it is a kind of the kind of mistake. Well, it's happened quite recently, you know.
Yeah.
There's been brands like Appetizer where they did that the tweet last year about every girl needs a blonde best friend, you know, which is so
ouch.
Yeah.
It's far we're going, guys. Because because you said it's sensitivity, right? But is it sensitivity or is it just the fact that like the conversations happen in boardrooms that just don't have enough influence of the real South Africa? You know what I mean? I don't want to say the T word.
No.
Transformation.
It's
insulated conversations then.
Yeah, but the fact that I could arrive at that being a South African ad.
Yeah.
Don't you think that is indicative of where we are as like an industry that mustn't wait for the Mac charter next year?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or maybe it's because of the backlash or the outrage that was coming from South Africans.
I think that may have been.
Yeah.
But it was worldwide. But I was very quick to say, this actually makes sense for it to have come from South Africa.
Yes.
Just like how there was that Vinduk ad a lot of months ago.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that said Sanbonani Ama Weekend, right?
Yes. Yes.
Because it makes sense. It makes sense for that to live alongside
this
Dove shit. You know what I mean? Anyway, let's not get too heavy right now, and let's not put Fran in a weird.
No, I'm just thinking. I mean, it's a thorny issue, and I think for me, the fact that it was picked up in South Africa on the it made you think it could have come from here. I do think there's also an issue sometimes with, particularly social media, with the speed at which it has to be turned around a lot of the time. So, you know,
do you think that speed erodes the quality?
I think it might do, and I think it also possibly leads to stuff going out too quickly
without
having been considered. Just because of the time pressure people are under. You know, you've got the content calendar, you've got to do like 14 tweets a week and a Facebook ad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird that Facebook didn't, if that was a Facebook ad, it's weird Facebook didn't pick that up either.
They
monitor things quite closely.
For me, it actually brings you back to the point, the fact that, like, guys, let's remember, digital is just a medium, right? And people start to talk about, like, and we're going to get into that about your time at Quirk.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
Digital, for me, is just a medium, right?
Yeah.
You must still have an idea. And the haste at which, like, digital things are put together because of the, man, we live in a digital space, we must be quick, erodes or like, neglects the quality of the idea, don't you think? Sometimes. I'm going to say sometimes.
What sometimes happens, I think, is that there's a... The approach is very much a sort of ticking the media channel boxes approach. And so there's a lot of...
But there are entire agencies now that are based on this medium.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And now the expectations. So like they're like, oh, cool. Also, I don't have to buy like a billboard so we can throw this thing out real quick.
Mm-mm.
And the quality control just goes... Do you think that's real, or am I just like protective of what they're calling?
It's not an issue. It's if you're running any sort of business and you want to be putting out any type of communication, there should always be quality control. If you understand that your medium requires that things go out quicker,
but every medium should have quality control,
things
right?
In place. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Can't be quality control.
Yeah, I think the production process is quite a lot. You know, if you look at things like producing a billboard, there's a shoot. You have to produce a layout.
Exactly. So people can actually can go, that might actually be wrong.
Yeah.
Even the guy who puts up the billboard at the corner of William Nicol and Sentin Drive goes, all right, guys, come on.
You can't put this up.
Yeah.
Anyway. I think the thing with digital is that it's quick. and certainly social. I mean, it's not to say digital, because yeah, digital production times can
it's
be
a whole
long.
Other thing, yeah.
But the turnaround can be very, very quick. And I think sometimes it's just about, especially a lot of this is being taken in-house now as well.
Yeah.
And also being farmed out to agencies that might not have that much experience, you know. So
they've
got a team of young interns or whatever doing the social media posts, and mistakes happen. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, bloggers.
Hey, influencers. Anyway, cool. But you know what? I think I don't want to actually get too much into that, because I don't want to tank today's show with the bullshit, right? Because once again, we've got Friend Lucky in the studio. It's your boy G-Man the Ad Man, and we're doing very well. There are people who really, really wish they could get Friend Lucky into meetings. We just got her in the studio today, so and that's what's up. And I actually like you know the conversation about like female representation in the game. And right, like and we keep talking about it, and the big conversation is about black female representation, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
But I just think that we must actually just start at female representation, because like I still find myself in a lot of boardrooms,
yeah,
where especially on the agency side,
yeah,
there's still like
the boys,
it's white males,
yeah,
right? Mm. How does a friend like it, right?
Mm. Make it this
like
far.
Just go into like this place, like to be how does Friend Lucky become the lady that I saw at Sun City running at the forefront of the game? Like,
yeah,
what does it take to become that? Where did it start for Friend Lucky? Where did it start for you?
So, I mean,
where are you from? Is what I'm asking.
I'm from Pinetown.
What's Pinetown?
Pinetown is, come on, come on.
Shout out KZN, what's going on?
Yeah, Pinetown, thank you very much. Shout out to Pinetown.
Yeah.
I mean, I you know, I went to varsity and I studied like speech and drama.
Oh yeah,
and English, yeah. And then
there are not a lot of people who studied like copywriting in that direction.
No. Well, it wasn't a thing, you know. There wasn't really. I mean, back in
1990, 2000.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yeah. I mean, I literally, you know, I didn't have a lot of other options as a, you know, I was going to have to earn a living, and I wasn't going to be an actress because I can't sing or dance. And in this country, if you don't do musical theatre and cabaret, you just don't earn a living.
Shout out to the cast of King Kong.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Shit is dope shit. If you haven't gone to see it, go out there. Go check out King Kong. Shout out to the cast of King Kong. Actresses and actors.
Mm-hmm.
The special few who actually stuck to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, sorry, Fran.
No, it's fine. So, I mean, that was the thing. It was, I got to the end of like fourth year or whatever. I was doing my honors in English. And I thought, shit, I'm going to have to earn a living. I mean, how am I going to do that? And I thought about becoming an academic, and I just felt like, it kind of felt like
student.
Yeah, and it kind of felt like I had a creative side that wasn't being executed, and I was actually, and so I mean, at that stage, the AAA used to come to the varsities and do interviews, and I went to an interview at the AAA, and she said to me, "Do you know which agency did the BMW Mouse ad?" And I said, "Yes, Hunt Lascaris." And she said, "Fine, you're in."
And that's what it takes, guys.
Yeah.
Guys, shout out to Hunt Lascaris for getting into advertising. Boom.
Thank you very much. And the thing is, I was always that kid who watched ads, right?
Yeah.
I was always fascinated with them, and the rest, you know, so I kind of always liked it, and I could write. So I did a year at the AAA.
Do you think you have a novel in you? Do you still have that? Are you that writer that still has like the great South African novel?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I think I might have a screenplay.
Boom!
Oh, even better.
Yeah.
We're gonna have a chat
about
it.
Very interested in that. Yeah. I've always loved film, and I love film more and more like each year. So I don't know if I've got a novel, but I might have a screenplay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hypothetically, what would the screenplay be about?
Oh, I don't know. That's like, I have so many kind of half written thoughts in my head.
Yeah. Elevator pitch, quickly.
Hey?
Just one.
Just one.
Well, I mean, I feel like there's an army film, like a film about how ridiculous like it was sending like guys in the army to fight a war that wasn't really legitimate.
Boom.
I've got a friend who's got I don't want to give this away because it's his thing, but he wants to do a film about like Colin Chauke as well, about these guys who geared up for, and there might be a combination of those things, about these guys who trained for revolution and then there wasn't one.
Yeah. Boom.
And they're like, what do you do? What the hell do you do after that? You know?
Guys, G-Man the Ad Man, I drop shit first. Before shit even drops, I drop it out here. You heard it here first. Friend and friends are going to drop a dope screenplay. So you go from that and AAA calls you up.
Mm-hmm.
And then?
So I did a year at the AAA. And then I got a job. Yeah, in Joburg. There wasn't a Durban. So it was all very heartbreaking. I had to leave home.
Yeah.
Go to Joburg.
Are you excited about the move?
Not really. Hey, I was quite, I like Durban
because you'll miss the humidity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I mean, you should see my hair in the humidity. It's amazing. It is a thing of beauty.
Yeah,
like my hair in humidity. Yeah. Anyway, so I went to Joburg, and then I got a job at the Jupiter Drawing Room.
Shout out Jupiter Drawing Room. That's what's up. I mean, Jupiter Drawing Room will always be an institution.
Sure.
In this country, okay, and yeah. And yeah, I mean, we can get into that, right? So. With the recent developments of all that, I mean, it must kind of break your heart or make you feel like the time had come for it to evolve. What's your feeling about it?
I think it's very sad. I mean, Graham Warsop hired me, so I went to the job interview, and I mean, honestly, I thought
you sat on the Chesterfield.
I did. I thought I was unemployable. I mean, I have to be honest with you. So I went to this interview, and I had a little bit of a portfolio, and I oh my word, I put my poetry in there.
Flashbacks.
Guys, there's going to be another show. Do you mean the admin after dark?
I'm
going to
read
we're going to read poetry.
I'm going to do spoken word. Oh, there won't be a dry eye in the city. Anyway, he had all these books in his office. It was amazing. It's an office full of books. So I completely forgot my manners. He was paging through my portfolio, and I was walking around reading his books. And only afterwards did I think, that's just kind of rude. You know, but it was really, great. We just got on. And then I got a job there, and those were great years. You know, Dennis Hoynes was there.
Yeah.
Graham, I mean, we worked late every night. I never went home before 11. And Graham just taught me to write.
That's so dope. I remember when I came through. At Jupiter Drawing Room was prided themselves in the long copy ad.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, I remember there was the slavery something ad that Catherine Thompson wrote.
Oh, they did that at Hunter Scars.
You shout out to just long copy. You shout out. But I do remember there was a Nike one. There was a Nike one.
Yes, about the marathon. Lawrence Seftal wrote that one about the Nike comrades.
Shout out Lawrence Seftal. That's for sure.
Amazing writing. Really
so great. I mean, that was an institution. Of like understanding the art of long copy.
Yeah.
Do you think that we'll ever go back to that? Like in this world of 140 characters, do you think that we'll ever go back to like appreciating like the long copy ad, or should we all just be like, it's done?
No, I think there's still a space for it. If you look at the Cannes Grand Prix in print 2 years ago, it was the McDonald's Burger King Peace Day.
Yeah.
And that whole thing was kicked off by a full page press ad.
Yeah.
And it was so beautifully written.
That's what's up. Well.
So there's a role. I think we shouldn't fetishize things. We shouldn't go, fetishize. We shouldn't put anything on you don't elevate anything above what its usefulness is. If the long copy ad is useful, then do that. If it isn't, then don't.
So we should stop referring to it like the long lost art
of writing.
I mean,
the art of writing, I don't think will ever be lost.
And I mean, I love Twitter for long form storytelling. Twitter is amazing. I mean, a couple of years ago, they reenacted the sinking of the Titanic through tweets.
Oh yeah,
it was amazing. They did it.
I need to look.
Beautiful. And they each the passengers tweet and the captain tweets and so they it
that's
unfolds.
Insane.
It was beautiful. That's a dope concept.
That is crazy shit. But do you think that then like for people like you and I who have to like sit then and take in like the kids right, that our understanding of the people who come into the studio must change completely now, because we're dealing with people whose writing ability comes at 140 characters and whose concentration span understands that other people, you know what I mean? Do you think that we have to be at that place right now?
Yeah.
Can I just jump in? Isn't that what agencies are supposed to do? When you mentor someone, that whatever you're thinking before, let me teach you something, like she said with Graham Warsop, like...
No, what I mean is that the intake strategy should change, right? So when I came in, I wanted to write the long copy ad, right? But at the same time, I need to be able to hire now a young person who can also put thoughts down to 140 characters and that's an art form on its own.
But isn't it about just identifying talent no matter what form it gives, and then you nurture that and you...
Let's see what Fran has to say about this.
I was just having a cup of coffee here.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see what Fran has to say about this.
Feed up. No, so I think it's about, and I think it's always been about seeing what the... So you meet halfway. So the person who comes in is going to have been raised, they're going to have come out of the womb tweeting. So they're probably
come out of the womb tweeting. Mm-hmm. That's a new.
I don't know how I feel about that.
That's a quotable. That's a quotable.
Yes. So the thing is, I mean, those people are going to come in with much better skills in certain areas than I have, because they've grown up that way. But then I can teach them, you know. So then you meet halfway and you go, well, this is what you bring to the table. Wow, you write really great tweets. Or there's just a kind of way of writing a tweet. It's kind of somebody who's been who's grown up doing it is much better at it naturally.
And and it actually leads me to like the fact that, you know, because you went after you left Ogilvy.
Yes.
You went to Quirk.
I did.
Right.
Yeah.
So like, did you have to like get a different like skill set?
Sure.
Oh, right. No, in order to kind of go like now to navigate this uh-huh. digital world.
Yeah.
Like I know what I know. Mm-hmm. Traditional.
Traditional.
So like in that transition, what like steps do you have to take in order to become the person who could like hire for Quirk as opposed to hiring for Ogilvy?
It was a huge learning curve, actually. I mean, you know, we all say to ourselves, oh, an idea is an idea, you know.
It's yeah.
But actually, when in the digital universe, it is much more technical. So you have to know. So when I write a TV ad, I don't have to understand how TV works.
Yeah, yeah.
I hand it over.
Yeah.
And the digital
and Tabangulia shoots it.
Mm-hmm, yeah, yeah. Brilliantly.
Yeah.
And then I'm at the editor. But once it goes on, once it gets broadcast, I don't have to understand how that works.
Yeah.
And I don't have to track it, and I don't have to build in mechanisms uh-huh. whereby you can track. Whereas digital is very, very different. The process is much more complicated, I think. You have to understand the digital ecosystem, how it works, how things are, because obviously you can track things.
Yeah.
How we build in engagement.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like before. You'd write a TV ad and then you'd go out there, and then a year later, Millward Brown would phone some people and go, "Hey, do you remember? Did you like it? You know."
Shout out research.
Yeah.
We love your research.
Yeah. So I mean, now you know. With digital, it's much more. I was getting into things like UX, which I didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly, for 6 months, I don't think I said anything. I just used to nod. I used to nod a lot.
Yeah.
Everyone would go, oh, yeah, UX, UI. I'd go, yeah. Oh, yes, nod.
But that's an important thing for me. Mm-hmm. Like, so do you feel like everything you knew and the expertise you had from inverted commas traditional left you kind of like, you know, out of your depth?
Yeah, I mean, I had to learn a whole lot of new skill sets. And the thing is that the it's changing all the time, so you can never stop learning.
Yeah.
But you know, the Quirk guys were amazing, and my philosophy was,
shout out to the guys at Quirk. Yeah, that's what's up. What's going on?
I mean, they were amazing. I went in going, guys, I don't know anything. Like, I do not know shit.
Yeah.
So you guys need to help me, and they were amazing. And actually, people are great because they always love, most people love to help and they love to teach. So if you go to somebody and go, geez, SEO, man, what the hell is that? Like, they'll generally, I learned a lot about SEO because we had some great SEO people. And they, like, there's a guy called Steven Sandman who, like, we're still a really good friend, and he's a passionate SEO person.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I was like, well, you can't be creative with SEO, but actually you can do this amazing search engine like stuff.
Optimization.
Yeah.
I was waiting for what SEO
sorry, my bad.
Search engine optimization, that's what's up. Yeah. Guys, I got the shit down. Yeah.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
G-Man the ad, man.
Look at you slinging those words, right? Yeah, yeah. But I mean, so there were people who were very passionate about their field, and they would be only too happy to sit down and go, okay, this is how this thing works.
Yeah.
And it took me, it really is a whole nother system. Yeah, it's another frontier. Yeah. The words, you know, you have to learn a whole lot of new kind of.
So then you dive into this world.
Yes.
This Quirk world, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And then Gray comes a calling. Or you call Gray. So what happened?
You know what? It was gradual because I was very happy at Quirk. And I got a phone call from a woman called Sharon Boerter that I had used to work with at Ogilvy. And she said, hey, I don't know if you're looking, but Gray are looking for an ECD. And I kind of wasn't looking, but I always like to go and chat to meet people.
Did it feel like a step back? Did it feel like
Gray?
A step back from kind of what the new world is doing, the digital thing, and now you're going back into inverted commas traditional.
So that
did it feel like that?
That was the interesting thing because, I mean, initially I thought, okay, well, I'm happy where I am.
Yeah.
But I always like to go and meet people. So I went to meet the CEO of Gray and the ECD, Glenn, and it was a really great meeting.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like we just chatted for over an hour, and I was very interested by. Shameless plug.
Again.
By Gray Worldwide had adopted what they call open.
Yeah.
Open culture, which they had got rid of all the separate profit centers.
Isn't the head of creative Gray Worldwide a South African as well?
No. He's a Dane. There's a lot of Danish people.
No, hold on. Who's the South African guy that was the head of who?
There's one in Singapore. The CCO of Singapore is a South African.
Maybe I'm mixing that up. Okay, sorry.
No, all good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what I was really... And I had been doing my thesis at the time as well.
Boom!
I know, right?
At the Berlin School of
Creative Leadership.
See, I know some stuff.
No, you do. Fantastic. So I was doing my thesis, and part of my my thesis had to do with innovation in ad agencies and how ad agency structure hampers innovation.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, and one of my biggest things was about the silo structure.
You know that's a whole other show, right?
No.
You know that's a whole other show, right?
Jeez, that's a whole other show.
That's the late night show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so I'd become quite obsessed with how the silo structure within agencies hampers. And it's, in fact, one of the driving reasons why I joined Quirk, because within the traditional agency structure of silos, I wasn't able to learn about digital because I was the traditional ECD. And I couldn't, the guys from Ogilvy One sat outside my office, but I couldn't collaborate with them because there was a different revenue center, and they had different clients. And so it was a big thing. It was a big obsession. And so when I met with Paul Jackson and Glenn from Grey, what impressed me the most was that the Grey worldwide had gotten rid of all the separate. So they don't operate
separate.
So there's no silos. So everybody works together. And that I found very enticing. And I mean, it was probably a year because I was still doing my thesis and I was happy where I was. But we kept chatting. And I kind of said to them, look, you know, I really love meeting you, but you know, like I'm kind of busy with what I'm doing.
So when you joined Grey, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they'd also just gone through the proverbial storm, right? So like they just come out of a storm where like at some point people were like, Grey and SA, right? But they just come out of that.
Well,
right?
Actually, the agency that is Grey now was an agency called Volcano, which has always been Grey.
Aha.
Yeah, so aha. So this is one of the biggest misconceptions. The Grey disinvested from South Africa a couple of years ago.
Okay, cool.
But that was a different agency. Yeah. And then they looked...
Was that Grey Worldwide?
Yeah, Grey Worldwide. So
disinvested.
Yeah, they closed the agency here. I'm not sure of all the reasons for
that.
And then they wanted to, they still wanted a presence in South Africa, so they looked to acquire another agency.
So they acquired Volcano.
Volcano, which has been around for about a good 30 years. It's been a very kind of steady, well-run organization. I think they looked at it and they thought, okay, this is a healthy business, let's buy into it. Yeah. So the Grey that I work for now was
Volcano.
Yeah.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but does that still have affiliation to the worldwide?
Yeah, so I mean we are majority owned by Grey Worldwide.
And how's that been? How's like coming back and kind of like reinvigorating like the Grey dopeness, because like Grey is a behemoth, so to speak, right, worldwide. So like how's that been? How's that like reinjecting that into the Volcano culture, so to speak?
So what's been interesting is that the people at Volcano, and particularly the leadership, the board, are like, they drank the Kool-Aid big time. So I haven't had any, it hasn't been difficult. It's literally, I mean, you know, my CEO goes, oh yeah, so we're number 5 at Lurie, so next year we'll be number 1, right? I'm like, So he's going, okay, like, yeah, like he's completely into it. I don't have to fight against, I don't have to work against any grit or inertia in the system.
Yeah.
Everybody's into it. And when I first met with the guys from Grey, they had just been through a whole training program where the guys from Europe had come out and introduced what is open culture.
Yeah.
They had gotten rid of all the offices and moved everybody. So everybody works in a big studio. Everybody. Ah, but like,
I've actually been to this building.
You haven't been.
Yeah, I've actually been there.
I think I poured you a drink.
You actually might have poured me a drink.
Yes. So the roofies didn't seem to.
They didn't take.
No, I might have to use more next time. But sorry. That was unprofessional. I'm sorry.
Okay, cool. So, but like, tell me, friend. I mean, I want to get into like the serious stuff before we run out of the time, right?
Okay.
So, like, why is it that you think, right? I mean, you are one of very few female leadership in the creative space, right? Why do you think that is? Why do you think that like we don't have a lot of female executive creative directors?
I think, is
it something that we're doing, or is it something that you know what I mean?
I think South Africa is actually better off than the rest. Yeah, I mean,
are we really? I mean, I look at stuff like from the US,
mm-hmm.
like female representation in leadership and creative in the US is quite for real. Like I know the head of creative at FCB Worldwide,
Susan Creed,
is a lady,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And like in the US, I feel like they're making, I mean, to the detriment of black folk. I mean, they're going first for, which is
so
fine.
So
but like,
yeah, that's a good point.
So I mean,
that's the PR you're seeing, but
no. But like in South Africa, we're not doing either, right? There isn't a lot of black leadership, but also there isn't a lot of female leadership. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, see, I don't entirely agree with it. I think there's a lot. There's more. So when I go overseas to creative directors conferences, that's where I'm the only girl in the room full of men.
You don't feel like that around here?
No, not so much. And I think
because who's the other? Who's the other like executive creative director?
So Mariano Kelly at Ogilvy. Catherine Ireland, Bridget Johnson.
Boom. Okay, cool. Fine. I hear. But I feel like
Jenny Glover.
I feel like that's five people, and the industry is what it is, right? So maybe my question should be: do you feel like the representation is enough? Are we doing enough? And you've also just mentioned like five white females.
Sure. No. Right? Well, yeah. Absolutely. No. That is a problem.
Yeah.
I do think that.
Do you think that we're just slow at making the change happen?
Yeah, I think that it's a complex one. I do think that the apartheid legacy had to do with slightly more white women doing slightly better in this country.
Yeah, because they were. I'm gonna free Fran from this tough question.
No.
It's your boy G-Man Evan. No. I'll let you answer actually.
Yeah, I mean, because I think that so much talent was excluded.
Yeah.
Not necessarily deliberately, but as a result of legacy issues, massive structural inequality. And as a result, white women got I might get shot for this, but I do think white women got a better shot than they would have got.
But my question also has like another dimension that we all know, like when I came in, right, there were like a whole lot of like black women in advertising, like ahead of me, right? So like Judith Mfutsanyane, Neo Sekgola, all those people. And like the list is endless. Why is it that you think that like it feels like at some point they all just go, they never get to the place? You know what I mean? Like it feels like the black female creative at some point just kind of goes, I'm never going to get to that place.
Isn't it the black male as well? The people you study?
But right now I want to get into the black female. Why is it that you think that like I would love for you to have added to that list like one or two black females, right? And especially with our market being what it is, why is it that you think that we're not there?
I think
what can we do to change that? Because we have these conversations to change things.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a ton of really great black female talent coming up.
Yeah.
So, I think, Sohana Gordon, right? There's one.
Julian Rivero says, I was thinking Tony Granger. That's what's up, Julian Rivero. Tony Granger, why not? That's what's up. Thanks. What about Julian? You got my bag, Papa. Thank you so much. Yeah.
No, I mean, there's a lot of like great female talent coming up.
Yeah.
I also think there's more of an entrepreneurial spirit now among people who would rather go start their own thing. You know, so
do you think that's good or bad for advertising? The fact that like we don't have like in the big systems, people who want to come up in the system and actually, you know, make a change there and just want to go. So like Nkabi Singh and Mukundi starting with Homola as well. So that's like the fact that they don't want to go into the mainstream. Do you think that's a good or a bad thing?
I think it's a great thing for them. I think that the emphasis on ownership is a problem.
How so?
Because. So at the moment, what agencies are scrambling for 51% ownership, right?
So, hey, 51. Yes.
Which I don't think is wrong. I think it's right. But what's happening is that they're looking to form partnerships with people who are already established, like big businesses already. And there's a lot of these great young people starting up who need support. They need, so they're not going to be able to buy 51% of it, they need the support they need. So I think, you know, joint ventures, finding these promising young people and giving them office
space. Shout out to the JV.
Giving office space, giving them briefs, giving them like a leg up. I think it's an important thing.
Yeah.
I think it might come full circle. You might find that, you know, people start their own things, they'll do some great work, and then they'll, at a later stage go, hey, maybe the regular salary is a good thing to do now.
Yeah.
And go into, you know, into a bigger agency.
I mean, and you know what? I think that's I feel slightly like it's an unfair question because it's a very big question I just asked you, right?
Sure.
Because that's a show on its own, you know. Because I think that like that conversation is huge amongst all of us, right? We're all talking about like do we stay in the systems or do we just start our own thing and.
But I also think like people get into the own start your own thing for different reasons.
No, but it's because like frustrations and do you know like and I saw Gareth outside like this show every time I go this hour flies by, and like there's so many things that I want to get into with you and we are gonna have a part two of this conversation.
Yes,
I promise
will.
You.
No, that's great. I'd really love it.
Yeah, we really
love that. Yeah,
but like I mean, what do you think that like if there was a young creative who's walking into an agency right now, right now, any agency, right? Doesn't matter who this creative is, right? What piece of advice would you give to that creative right now who's walking in with, I was going to say portfolio bag, but like that also dates me. You know what I mean? That's the years me and Kamikana Sissin come from, you know what I mean?
No one brings a portfolio bag anymore. They just go, here's my Behance.
Here's the USB.
Here's the link to my Behance, like honestly.
So what piece of advice would you give to anybody who's walking into the game right now? Like in its like, you know, morphing state. Morphing state. What piece of advice would you give someone who's working in the game right now?
I would say find a good mentor and like hang on to them and force them to mentor you. You know, I'm finding a lot of there's a lot of younger people now coming to me saying I'm not getting taught. They get lost in the big agency system.
Yeah.
And I think you need to just like, I mean, I remember when I was a copywriter, I once followed my creative director into the loo because he hated reviewing, right? He hated reviewing. Yeah. And it was like every morning at about 10 o'clock, he used to head off to the toilet with a business day under his arm. I mean, if the business day, you know, does it for you.
Right. Whatever. If that's your kind of thing.
And I mean, I would go
to him.
That's
your toilet thing.
Yeah. And I'd be like, Rob, could you please review? And he'd go, fuck off. And I was just a little shit, you know? I just followed him to the loo. And I think, don't be afraid. It's that person's job to mentor you.
That's what's up.
That's what they're... And so make sure you find a good teacher and make sure you get mentored and don't shut up and go and bug them.
Yeah.
That's what they're there for. That's their job. And I think, you know, hang around, take them ideas, nag them, bother them, send them mails. Like, don't
fuck
worry about
them. Fuck with them.
Exactly.
Yeah. You have to want
exactly.
it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter, you know, if you're irritating them, it's fine. Like, it's their job. They're supposed to mentor you. They're supposed to grow you.
I like that so much.
Yeah.
So tell me this. Is Gray hiring? Who should send emails to who? Tell me.
So listen.
Kids, don't say I never do anything for you guys.
Yeah. Listen, I love meeting people and I love like seeing new people. So we're always looking. Like, I know it's we're always looking for great people. You know, the budgets are the budgets and they change from day to day. You never know, but we're always
looking. The needs are the needs as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
That is so dope.
Always looking.
Guys, I actually can't believe how quickly this hour flies by. We took a bit of shit.
Already?
It's gone. We have 3 minutes left.
Oh, wow.
That's insane.
Hell.
So, guys, wow. It's been a dope hangout. We are going to have a part two of this because I feel like we didn't actually get to speak about everything. But I do feel like we spoke about some important things. I feel like we touched on some things that I hope that in your agency or wherever you are, it's going to make somebody think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that if this conversation just sparks another conversation, I'm happy with that.
Yeah, it's great. I would love to come back. I'm always up for that.
Oh, it is done. Yeah. She's going to coordinate it again.
Great.
Give you a phone call.
Terrific. A far less formal email this time.
Yeah,
exactly. That's going to be your friend.
Yeah,
what's up?
Yeah,
I also need a job.
Yeah, exactly. She's thanks, eh? It's your boy, G-Man the Ant-Man. It's been another dope week of a hangout. Thanks for everybody who tweeted and said, what's up? Mr. Mabutu Zege, the guy who sponsored the apparel for the show, said, the Dove ad game must be failure. There's a shitty culture of let's get sign-off as opposed to quality control. Ooh. Mabutu, we are going to talk about that another day, bro.
Yeah.
But a huge shout-out to everybody who hit us up and everybody who's listening out there. I think that this conversation, we said some things that are really important. Get the podcast. After this podcast, we'll be available. Play it in your studio, play it in the car on your way to the meeting, play it for your client. Let your client understand, you know, that there's a transition from quirk to create that they must understand and how ideas came. But most importantly, I think that there's important things that we've imparted today that I hope that is going to further the conversation about female leadership, creative leadership. As well, right? So thanks so much, Fran, for coming to hang out with
us
today.
Thanks for having me. It was amazing.
Thank you.
Fun.
And we'll do this again. And like I say every week, guys, most importantly, take care of yourself, take care of those briefs, but most importantly, take care of each other. Because it's rough out there. It's really, really rough, and briefs are tough, and people are tough. So take care of each other. And like I say every week as well, if the show was on a Friday, we'd be having a tequila. It's your boy, G-Man, the Ad-Man. Boom!
This is CliffCentral.com.